access to cash or credit is likely to be one of the keys to survival in these challenging times. So today on Please Explain, we're going to talk about personal credit and credit scores and how they work for you or against you with Jeffrey Biskel, a senior editor with Consumer Reports. I'm very pleased to welcome Jeffrey Biskel to the show today. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
When we talk about credit in the context of personal finance, what is the definition?
Well, essentially, it's borrowing. It's the mortgages for houses, auto loans for cars, and credit card debt for a lot of other things that people buy.
And what is a credit rating or a credit score then?
Well, when somebody lends you money, the big interest or their big interest is, are you going to pay me back? So credit scores measure, basically they look at your credit history, which is kept in a credit report by credit bureaus, and they produce a credit score, which will basically rate how well, what are the chances that you're going to pay back or default on a loan.
And how accurate is their predictability?
There is a correlation between if you haven't paid your bills in the past or if you've fallen behind in paying late, in the past, then you have a higher probability of falling behind or not living up to your obligations in the future. So that's the whole concept of credit scoring, and they're based on, credit scoring models, which take all of that, when you get your credit report, you see the credit card from Sears or a Visa card or whatever, auto loan, and there's a lot of information there. Well, the credit scoring models distill that information into a score, and some of the score, generally the scores run from about 300 to about 850 points.
Well,
the higher the better.
Some of us have lived complicated lives. You can go through a period where you're unemployed or you're underpaid, and you find it hard to pay bills, and then you can get into a better situation, and now you're paying all your bills.
Right.
How long before the bad times where you were often late or only paid the minimum amount are no longer held against you?
Well, yeah, your more recent history, say for the past 1 or 2 years, is more important, so it gets more weight. As time goes on, the weight of a bad mark on your report, diminishes, if you will. And now, for example, the mega bad mark is a bankruptcy, so that would stay on your record for 7 to 10 years, depending on the type of bankruptcy.
The credit bureaus, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, many people have heard of. When did credit bureaus come into being?
Credit ratings have been around for about 100 years, but they kind of came into the fore in the 1960s or so when we started becoming more of a credit society, credit dependent society, and then in the 70s and 80s they started developing these credit scoring models. They had this credit scoring model since about the 50s for consumers, but it became popularized, if you will, so that now everybody, what is your credit score today? That came in last couple of decades now as credit became such a huge engine that lenders wanted to get it out, and they wanted to get a credit card into your hand quickly so that you could start borrowing money and they could start earning interest. So that's in the last couple of decades.
Where did the term FICO score come from?
The FICO score is based on is a product of Fair Isaac Company. So FICO is Fair Isaac, FICO company, and they were one of the first companies back in the 50s that developed or invented credit scoring models.
Well, today we're talking mostly about personal finance as opposed to corporate finance, but are companies like Moody's evaluating corporate data the same way that these credit bureaus are measuring an individual's credit worthiness?
Well, yes, they do. I think it's much more, it can be much more intense in that there's a lot more information. So for a company, for example, there would be company filings, asset and liabilities, their balance sheet, their income, looking at the management team, market share of the various products and stuff. So it can be more intense, although last summer we found that some of the ratings were not, mortgage-backed securities were not very reliable. In fact, they were exaggerated to get the business, basically. So, stuff that was rated very highly was actually junk.
And it's interesting that sometimes we can be rated low by a company that will be rated low by somebody else. I don't know why I find that amusing, but...
Yes.
somebody can say, well, I'm not going to give you that, and then I discover that company is in serious trouble for doing a lot worse than I've been doing on the personal level.
Yeah, it seems things are more forgiving the bigger amount of money that you have to throw around or to waste, I guess.
My guest is Jeffrey Bliskal, B-L-Y-S-K-A-L. He's a senior editor with Consumer Reports, and we're talking about credit and credit scores on today's Please Explain. A little later, we'll be taking your calls at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. You can also leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. So let's take it from the beginning. How does a person come to have a credit score?
Well, you start. It starts with the credit. Well, it starts with credit, basically. So, when you open up a credit card, or when you opened up a credit card when you were in college or got a car loan in your 20s, that is recorded by the credit bureaus, which goes and it's compiled into a credit report, which keeps track of all your, how well you paid. And so, if you have a five-year loan, four or five-year car loan, they keep track every month as to whether you've paid that on time or whether it fell behind, 30 days, 60 days. And so this basically becomes the basis for your credit score. And then as you go and apply for credit, a lender or a prospective lender will go look at your credit report or access your credit report and apply a particular credit scoring model, and then that produces the credit score. And then based on that, every lender has somewhat different standards. You will get either get the loan or you won't, or you'll have to pay more for it. And that's where we got into trouble with subprime, whereby people, the lenders were so anxious to lend money because they can make money on it, they figured we'll charge a higher interest rate to higher credit risks. So the people who were less likely to pay back were paying a higher interest rate so that they didn't, to kind of compensate for that added risk.
And right now there are some ads on television. If you look at the fine print, you discover that they're charging nearly 100% interest. That used to be usury. For people who really are bad credit risks. Still, that's an incredibly high rate.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that is going on now.
There were those Gary Coleman commercials. I've been told that even returning library books on time can count. Is that true?
That's what I've heard. I haven't actually seen that, but that's what I've heard. A number of things go into it. It's mostly based on your credit. Your credit actual history. Now, if your utility bill, you pay your electric bill, that might be part of it. Or if you don't pay a medical bill, that's technically not credit, but it could be put on. It could wind up on your credit report as a negative mark. Same with all kinds of things. If there's a judgment against you, you didn't pay the bill, and they take you to court and stuff. So there's lots of other things that could be on there. I wouldn't take a lot of stock in the library book thing, though.
I'm grateful because I was really bad when I was in college, and hope there's a statute of limitations. What's the best way to learn what your credit rating is? I've heard that purchasing your credit report may not be the best way because you can end up with a report that isn't the same as the one that's being used by the creditors.
Yeah, that's one of the problems. Everybody is selling credit reports now. The credit bureaus are selling them. FICO is selling them. Fair Isaac Company under the myfico.com website. There are other ones that are kind of different named, which you may have never heard of. And if you can't go on the internet anymore without, you know, getting hit with banner ads about what's your credit score and all that stuff. So you can buy them everywhere. We did a story a couple of months ago and found that basically that those credit scores that you buy are not necessarily the ones that the creditor that you go to will actually use. So, for example, if you go for an auto loan, you may buy the FICO score, you know, from MyFICO, but they will actually use a different Fair Isaac score called an auto industry score, and that gives more weight to how you've paid your car loans.
Now, Antonio in Park Slope left a comment on our show page. He said a mortgage broker told him that when they check your FICO score to check your worthiness, they'll always take the middle score out of the three. He said when he asked why, the guy didn't have a really good answer.
Yeah, every lender is different. So some will take the middle one, some will average them. It's unlikely they'll take the highest one, but they might take the lowest one on the assumption, you know, we're going to be real conservative and, you know, one reason to take the lowest score is because interest rates are pegged to your score. So if you have a 700 score, a score of 700, you'll pay a lower interest rate than someone with a 600 score.
I've also heard that everyone's entitled to one free credit report a year from each credit bureau. So how do you access those reports? Are those free reports more accurate than the ones that can be purchased?
They're exactly the same. That's under the Federal Fair Credit Reporting Act that gives you the right to do that because, you know, people need to check for errors. So basically, the credit bureaus have put together a website. I think it's called annualcreditreport.com, and you can go there and order them. And what we would recommend, you can get one credit report per year from each credit bureau. So what we recommend is that you buy, you know, you order your free credit report in January from Credit Bureau A, and then maybe in April or May from Credit Bureau B, and then go to the third credit bureau, you know, 3 months, 4 months later. So you kind of stagger them, and you're kind of keeping a rolling track of them throughout the year.
But can there be huge discrepancies? We're talking about three separate companies that are supposedly drawing from the same sources and should be coming up with pretty much the same evaluations.
Yeah, we found, for the same person, differences of anywhere from 50 to 100 points. And that's because the three credit bureaus, they're independent companies, and they don't all have contracts with, you know, everybody doesn't, they don't have all the same information about all of your loans.
Mm-hmm.
So one credit bureau may have, you know, five of loans that you have, and another one may have two other loans that you have, but the first credit bureau doesn't have information on those loans. And it has to do with who reports, you know, to the credit bureaus and whether they, they want to pay and the fees involved and stuff. So companies don't necessarily want to, you know, report to everybody.
Now, you mentioned that you mentioned some of the things that will hurt a credit score, bankruptcy being the worst, but also late payments. What are some of the others? I was surprised to read that gas cards and department store cards can give you a negative rating. Why would that be?
Yeah, that's what we found when we did a story about insurance scores, which are similar to credit scores, used for credit scores. Basically, these models look at, they find the correlation between certain types of credit and default behavior, or, you know, how well you repay. And for whatever reason, people who have credit with gas cards, gasoline cards, you know, gas station cards, or finance company cards, are more likely to default. And so that gets kind of factored into the account, into the credit scoring model, and then it winds up in your credit score. So if you have a couple of gas cards, it could reduce your credit score. And if you have department store cards, which are really issued, in most cases by finance companies, which are, like household finance or beneficial, those are finance cards. So those are finance company loans, and those also may count against you and can reduce your score.
Well, they don't tell you that when you go to the store and they say you can get an added 15% off if you open up a department store credit card right now.
I know. So they give you that
and hurt your credit rating.
Your credit rating, right.
You
and,
say,
and it's not Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish.
It's not a good idea, though. Another reason not to get those cards. It's not a good idea to sign up for credit on an impulse like that. You know, oh, I'll make a snap judgment on this. You know, you should only get the credit that you need. So if you should only have probably one, maybe two credit cards. You know, major credit cards. You know, you don't need 10 credit cards. You don't need a credit card from every department store in town.
But also, I've heard that if you take a car loan through the car company, that hurts your credit rating. It's better to get the car loan through a bank.
Well, yes, those companies, you know, Ford Motor Credit and GMAC Credit, those are finance companies. And, you know, what's the difference between a finance company? A bank and a finance company, it has to do with the way they get their funds. So a bank gets its funds from deposits. You and I put our paycheck in there, and then, you know, thousands of other people do that. That's where they get the money to lend out. Finance companies don't have depositors, so they buy commercial paper. So there's a whole different thing about the risk and the cost, you know, differences in cost. Banks have lower costs. So you're going to pay probably a higher rate at a finance company. And again, you know, people who have a relationship with a bank, for whatever reason, it shows up, you know, a credit relationship with a bank rather than a finance company, are, you know, less likely to default if you were with the bank.
Well, the bank credit cards do encourage you to pay only the minimum, and they try to get you to hold high balances, but of course that also hurts your credit score.
Right.
Is it good to have paid off all your debts? If you owe nothing, is that good, or are creditors likely to not like you because you're not likely to mean any interest to them?
In terms of your credit score, the models like to see that you're using credit, you know, and you're using it carefully. So that you do, for example, would have a variety of loans. You'd have a car loan, a mortgage, you know, a credit card or two maybe. The lenders want you to borrow their money so that they can charge you their interest rates, or you can pay them interest. So there is kind of a conflict, if you will. You know, the lenders will want you to, they want you to borrow from them, and they don't like to see you borrowing too much from too many other people. So it kind of works both ways. But the bottom line is that consumers have to be disciplined. You can't fall for, you know, the latest credit card offer that pops up in your mailbox, or you know, free checks, you know, loan checks that show up in your mailbox. You know, you can't fall for all these come-ons. You have to use credit with discipline for the things when you need it. So when you need a house, for obviously is a legitimate and logical and reasonable reason to borrow.
And right now, they're cheaper than ever. Jeffrey Bliskell is senior editor with Consumer Reports. We will continue our conversation, take a lot of calls on today's Please Explain, calls about credit and credit scores. Our number is 212-433-9692. I'll be reading some of the comments that have been left on our show page as this show continues right after this. And we're back with Jeffrey Bliskell, who is a senior editor with Consumer Reports. We're talking about credit and credit scores on today's Please Explain, and taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Our first caller is Liz from Manhattan. Hi, Liz. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I had a question about my credit score. I was between jobs about a year ago and had just accumulated a lot of bills, had a lot going on. So I took out a loan from my bank. I got this notice, 7.99%. And, you know, really, I'm a gold member. My credit is so great. We'll give you this great rate. And so I called up and I said, I was about to start a job, but I hadn't started yet. So they said, since you're not working right now, we can't give you the 7.99. We'll start you at, you know, 11.99. But they said, call back in a few months, and, you know, if your credit is still good, or if you're, you know, you've been working and paying this off regularly, we'll lower it. So I did that, and I've been calling back every few months, and they're like, no, sorry, we're not going to lower it. And I don't understand, because I'm wondering, what they have absolutely no interest in lowering my interest rate, because it'll just be less money for them.
Actually, they have high interest in not lowering your interest rate.
Exactly. So are they even looking at my credit score, which is excellent?
I don't know the particulars. I find it amusing that they, if you don't have a job, you can get, you're supposedly able to pay a higher interest rate than if you do have a job.
Right.
It's kind of a funny thing. But it's tough to say. You can shop around and perhaps try to find another loan to pay off that loan, perhaps, or sometimes if you can. That's possibly one way to do it. I don't know, how much are we talking about?
Like $40,000, but I've been paying it off. The minimum to pay them is like $600 a month, and I've been paying $1,000 a month, automatically. Mm-hmm. So I thought that would be great. I thought they'd love that, but they obviously don't love that. And also, well, it's still like $40,000. It's been, I've paid like $8,000 or $9,000 off this loan, and it's still like $39,200 I owe.
The interest rate is so high still.
Yeah, 40,000. Let me just get my calculator out here. 11% you're paying?
Yes.
Divided by 12 months. So every month you're paying, hang on, $366 at 11%. That's every month you're paying.
So one-third of that $1,000 she's sending in is just paying off the interest.
Just paying the interest, right. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's going to, that's right. See, the interest gets added on, and then your payment goes back, but it's kind of like two steps forward and one step back.
Well,
right?
Do you get those offers in the mail that you can transfer something at zero interest?
They always say it's got restrictions, so I assume that was probably.
Why don't you try?
What?
Why don't you try?
I thought that was another question. Would it affect my credit score negatively if I went to a different bank, like say Chase, and took out a loan to pay this loan to Bank of America, who, I've been a really good customer of theirs for more than 10 years, and they're just so, no, sorry, we don't do that.
You should point out to Bank of America that they've gotten in trouble recently for
risky business practices.
But I guess that's the answer. She either has to come up with the $40,000, or she has to find somebody else who will be nicer to her.
Yeah, refinance it if you can. I mean, certainly if you can reduce the interest rate, that's the way to go. That's one way to go. I don't think it will hurt your credit report, your credit rating, because if you pay off that loan, then that loan is satisfied, and it should be a positive mark on your credit report there, and should help with your credit score.
Our next caller is Morgan from Stamford, Connecticut. Hi, Morgan.
Hello. How are you?
Okay.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I have a question, which is generally, I had a business that failed a couple of years ago, and as a result, my credit rating took a substantial downturn. I ended up with a number of accounts, credit cards, things like that, either being settled or charged off, and the same with a number of creditors. All of that appears on my credit report. Now, for the last year or so, I've been paying everything on a current basis. Does it make sense to pay the accounts that were charged off? I'm still getting calls from creditors.
They were charged off, and you made an agreement with them to basically settle, take a certain amount?
No, these are ones where I didn't pay anything. I didn't have anything to pay. I never paid anything. And when you look at the report, it simply says charged off.
Oh.
Some of those are with, for example, AT&T, things like that, Nextel, Sprint.
Yeah. Well, that's going to look bad on your report, so that's going to be a negative.
It does look bad on my report. I'm saying that if I pay those off, will that improve my credit score? Or should
I just
let it drop off at some point?
Yeah, it should. It will drop off at some point, but as time goes on, it's going to become less important. But if you can pay those off, if you're in a better position now and can pay them off, I think that would be good. And
what does charged off mean?
I'm sorry, what?
What does charged off mean, Jeff?
A charge off means that basically it's gone beyond a certain point. Let's say I think it's about 90 days, where they, by accounting standards, that they have to basically say, we're not going to get this money,
mm-hmm.
and they charge it off. So they take it as a loss. And then probably, we'll sell that loan in some fashion to a collection agency that'll try to collect you again. So And if you, yeah, so basically if you pay it off, that'll be good. That'll help you. And certainly if you're going for another loan, you know, it's something that you can show to the lender and say, look, I'm responsible. I had hard times at that point, but here I paid it off, you know, 6 months ago or whatever, and here's the proof of that. That'll work in your favor.
Let's go to Catherine now in Verona, New Jersey. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call.
What do you want to talk about?
I am wondering how I can get an inaccuracy removed from my credit report. Excuse me.
Yeah. Well, you go to the try going to the website of the credit bureau that has this inaccuracy, and you file what's called a dispute. It's relatively easy. You can do it online. You can also write a letter to them as well if you want to show, you know, if you have a check that says, here, I paid it off, and here's the inaccuracy or whatever. But the first step is filing a dispute and providing the evidence that you have that it's either why is it incorrect, and, you know, what's the error, and what happened? Did they not record that you paid it, or is this a debt that's not yours?
There's an address on my credit report that I've never lived there.
Oh, well, that's not going to affect your, it shouldn't affect your credit score. And it's possible, you know, they don't always get everything correct. If you have a common name like Smith or Jones or something, you know, there's probably thousands of Smiths and Jones or Mary Joneses around the country, and sometimes those things get mixed up. It could also be a sign of identity theft, though, or, you know, someone using your identity. Don't get too alarmed by that, you know, but it's something worth checking into with the credit bureau and find out, you know, who is this person, because that's not me.
But sometimes there are other problems. I just recently had a situation with Time Warner, our local cable company, where the person who took my order just simply crossed out the name of the previous tenant, put my name on it. And they have had the hardest time trying to figure out what's going on because they're trying to charge me for things that were really on her bill. And I've been on the phone with them 1,000 times. And I'm afraid that it's going to affect my credit rating, even though I haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
They couldn't send me a bill because they didn't have my name, even though I had, you know, a technician came to my house and put everything in.
This is a cable company?
Well, it was cable and telephone and whatever. And I don't want to go through the sad story of my individual situation, but I suspect there are an awful lot of people out there who have tried really hard to pay their bills and haven't been able to because of screw-ups elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah. There are lots of errors that show up on credit reports as well, which is why you should look at your credit report periodically and, you know, just make sure it's all correct. So now that one probably won't show up because, you know, you're paying the bill and it's not a credit situation.
Well, I eventually did
directly
pay some bill. What happens when you just let a card go dormant for a long time? Does that have a negative effect?
No, it'll just show up if you have no balance on it or if you're paying it and just not using it. It will, you know, it'll show up as current, certainly. If you're not using it, it might be worthwhile closing it. It's kind of a double-edged sword there, because if you paid it on time all the time, it's good to have it on record there. It also shows up to your credit, kind of, that there's a, you know, $2,000 credit line on there that's not being used, which means, you know, that's another way another measure that they look at. Are you using 100% of the credit that you've got, you know, or 80%? That's not necessarily good. You know, with credit cards, they like to see you're using only 20% of the credit card, because, you know, for example. So if you have that, that shows that you're not using 100%.
What happens if your wallet is stolen? What do you do first? Should you call the credit bureaus?
You should, yes, definitely. First of all, call the credit card companies and cancel them. You know, tell them it was stolen, and they'll cancel it, and then you won't be liable for the law, for the charges on there. And then the next thing is that I would do is put a what's called a security. Call the credit bureaus, and, well, you have to write them or go online, and you'll find out how to do it. But sometimes you can put it online, or you can do it through the mail. Put a security freeze on your credit report, so that basically, if this guy tries to steal your identity, who has your credit card and maybe your driver's license and stuff, the creditor is going to go and look up your report, and they won't be able to access it. And they'll say, well, we can't give you credit because we can't find your credit report. And then the even more immediate than that, you would put a fraud alert on the credit report. And that you do that with any one of the three credit bureaus, and then the other two, that one has to report it to the other two as well.
Well, the credit bureaus will give you your credit report, but they won't give you your credit score. And the credit score is the real issue, isn't it?
No, they're not going to give the credit. They need the credit report. They need access to the credit report to generate a credit score. So they won't be able to do the score unless they have access to the credit report. So you cover yourself there. The fraud alerts are free. They last about 90 days. You should put those on first because they're kind of almost immediate. The security freeze takes a couple of days, maybe a week, and you have to pay for those in some states. Depends on your state law. Or if you're already a victim of identity theft, then you don't have to pay. But that's $10. It's money well spent. $10 per credit bureau.
George from Queens, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how you guys doing? The last 5 or 6 years, I've transferred balances, two different balances, about $8,000 for a total of $16,000, around to the different 0% offers I get every 12 months. So, when 11 months is up, when I inevitably get another offer, I transfer those two balances to two other cards. And I've been doing this, like I said, for about 5-6 years, and I'm just wondering if there's, any problem with closing the accounts that I pay off. I mean, is there anything that I should be worried about doing this?
Do you close the accounts after you transfer that money out?
Usually I do, yeah.
But meanwhile, you're not paying off this $16,000.
I'm paying the minimum charge every month.
If you close those accounts, it will reduce your credit limit. So, and if you're not actually, what happens is sometimes people do those transfers, and then they start charging back again on the old card. So that now they've got two cards, with 10,000 credit lines. And they're running them up with $8,000 each. So that doesn't look good. That's not good. But if you're paying them off and transferring them and then closing them, it should not hurt you. Other than, if opening too much credit, at a given time. So if you're opening two new credit cards every year or every 11 months or so, that could count against you.
Now, we don't have much time. In fact, we have 30 seconds, but I wanted to sneak this call in. Jimmy, can you make it really fast?
Sure I can.
Well, you're not making it fast, Jimmy.
Oh.
It's got to be right now.
There's a problem if there's a disputed bill. Can you ask the company to send you the bill?
You report that to the credit bureau, and the credit bureau will investigate it, basically. And there should be some record that they have, to justify that. And if they don't, they're not going to be able to charge it.
Well,
Go ahead. Go ahead. A disputed bill, if there should be, there's presumably some record and invoice and stuff, and you're, there's obviously you're disputing it. But the credit bureau is the one to call, and they'll investigate.
And thank you, Jeffrey Bliskell of Consumer Reports. It's been a real pleasure having you on today's Please Explain.
Thank you.